Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Ooh! Rita's friend Connie cooed over Rita's 11-month-old Preston. He's so cute! It's amazing, Connie commented, how well he walks for his age. I'm sure it's related to his IQ, Rita joked. Well, Connie mused, kids are doing so many things early these days, it's hard to know what's regular anymore. My nephew's only 3 and he's putting his alphabet blocks in order. When Carly was in kindergarten, she could sing all the songs from Cats, Connie recalled. I thought she should go right on to Broadway. Well, I'd be happy if Preston could just say Cats, Rita replied. He just points and grunts and hasn't even said Dada yet. I wonder if something's wrong. I don't know, Connie replied. They say when a little one's working on one skill, he can't concentrate on another. I guess, she added with a grin, grown-ups are the only age group expected to do multitasking. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about a child's language acquisition? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest can share with us helpful insights about language acquisition. Dr. Nan Bernstein-Ratner is chairman of the Department of Hearing and Speech Sciences at the University of Maryland in College Park. The author of numerous texts and research articles, her areas of expertise are child speech language development and disorders and the psychology of language. She's the parent of 2 teenage children and the aunt and great aunt of a number of others. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Nan.
Thank you for having me.
What are the stages babies go through in acquiring language, and are there specific age ranges when these do or should occur?
Well, the very first stage of language development is the babbling stage, which usually occupies the very first year of life. All normal children explore making sounds, and as they get closer and closer to their first birthday, those babbling strings sound more and more like words. We actually call them jargon. They may sound from a distance as though they're conversation, but if you really listen very carefully, they're not. The sounds don't approximate real words, but the intonation contour of it sounds very adult-like. During the first year, babies are exploring a lot. They really don't have the motor capacity to speak appropriately. We know that. It's only about at the first birthday that children can start to approximate first words. So the 11-month-old boy who's not saying cats yet is actually pretty typical, especially because he's a boy. And in fact, boys are a little slower in language development, so much so that for almost all of the tests of language development that we use in clinical settings, we have separate norms for boys and girls. So around the first birthday, however, and so we'd expect for this little boy to start pretty soon, he'll start to try and use real words. He may not pronounce them the way an adult would, but he'll be consistent in how he says it. So he might say "ats" for cats, but he'll say "ats" every time he sees a cat. Children are very variable between the first birthday and the point at which they actually have enough words to put words together to create sentences. It's typically going to occur between years 1 and 2, and we don't start to worry, for instance, unless a child is 2 years old and doesn't have 50 different words that he or she tries to say and doesn't try to put any of them together to make a 2-word utterance. But even at age 2, a significant number of children can't do that. We do start to call them late talkers, but a number of those late talkers become normal talkers between ages 3 and 4. Between ages 2 and 3 and 4, the bulk of language development that happens is learning the grammar, learning how to put words together to make sentences, learning how to put the little words of English in, such as the and is, learning to put endings on words like plurals and past tenses. When we can do all of that, then we can create adult-like language. What happens after age 4 and 5 is that we start to really polish up the grammar. We start to polish up the articulation of sounds. Sometimes that's not done until kids are 7. And we keep learning words. We never stop learning words until the day we die. So in some sense, language development is an endless process.
Should parents be doing anything specific to facilitate easier or earlier language acquisition? I can imagine a lot of parents of youngsters are thinking, oh, maybe there's something I should do. What should I be doing now?
Yeah, it's amazing. Parents want to do so much for their kids. And there actually has been some research that's asked the question, can you facilitate language? What sorts of things that parents do correlate with earlier or better language development in their children? Actually, the most potent predictor of when children will start to talk and how many words they learn is how much adults in the environment interact with the child. That doesn't mean, for instance, that the amount of language you use in the household purely, like language between the mother and father, will predict that. It's only language addressed to the child and following what the child's level of interest is. So a child is not a sausage. You can't stuff him. But what you can do is every time the child is interested in something, you can give a name for it. You can put that name into multiple types of sentences. So in my research with mothers and babies, it can be a little bit distracting to listen to the mothers teach their children language, in a sense. So you give them a new toy, and the mother will say, here's the block. Look at the block. The block is blue. Can you play with the block? Let's pile the blocks. Give me another block. Here's a block. Block. Now, my students sometimes go legally stupid trying to transcribe some of this stuff because it's sort of mind-numbing if you were going to have that conversation among adults. But there's evidence that that kind of language spoken to children, giving the child words for the things that they're doing or seeing or feeling, and then putting that set of words into small sentences that are slightly different and repeating them and changing them, those things are correlated very well with language development. Having said that, children who learn to talk early don't necessarily wind up being any smarter in some sense by the end of the game. Just because you learn to say sentences early doesn't mean that you're going to be the brightest child in your class, for instance, when you're in sixth grade or in high school. We haven't been able to determine that.
And conversely, kids who are late talkers aren't necessarily deficient in intellectual capacity.
Yeah, not every late talker is seriously in trouble. Of course, not every late talker is an Einstein. And there's a certain amount of dispute about this. I think parents should be legitimately concerned to get a child looked at if, for instance, as I said, by age two, they're not using about 50 different words and they're not trying to put any of them together to make little sentences like go out, mommy see, give this, want cookie, whatever. If children can't do that by age two, it's often worthwhile to go and check with a professional like a speech-language pathologist because there may be something going on there that's not been picked up on. And if you can intervene earlier in those cases, you can start the process of rehabilitation at a point where the child is more adaptable, is more plastic, we actually say, is capable of learning more at a younger age.
I think it's just extraordinary the effect that it has for parents or other adults to talk to a child. My husband didn't start to talk till he was over four. He was put into kindergarten at that time. My mother-in-law signed documents saying he was five. And the minute he entered kindergarten, he began to talk. But my mother-in-law doesn't talk to little children. I watched her with my own, and she just imitates their babble. And I could imagine that there's no way a child is going to learn to talk that way. So as soon as he was put in with other people who talked to him, he talked.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of variability in child language development. In one of the texts that I'm involved in, we have a whole chapter on individual variation in language development. Children are different and adults are different. In some cultures, you actually don't talk to children until they start to talk themselves or use certain words that they've overheard that the culture considers important. We don't do that, obviously, in our society, but there is some sense that different things are better at different ages. So, for instance, a person who imitates a child's verbalizations, that's actually very appropriate in the first year of life, and there's some evidence that kids like that, reciprocal vocal play between adults and children. Sometimes adults will imitate the child will then imitate the adult. That shows really nice interaction and shows the child at some level what language is really for. Language is for conversation with other people. So it's not that there are particularly bad things to do. And some children are spurred to talk more when there's more to talk about. So if you're in a home environment where not much is going on and you have limited experiences, there's not a lot to share with people. So certainly the context in which language can be used would give you more or less opportunity to use language and let it develop.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on language acquisition.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Nan Ratner about language acquisition in children.
Nan, what other problems are there that might arise down the road?
Well, if a child is late in learning language, a number of things can happen. I'll repeat that not all children who are late in learning language remain poor in using language. But there is some estimate that perhaps 10% of children at school entry are delayed in knowing language. And by this, we mean that their grammar is not age appropriate. Perhaps their vocabulary is not age appropriate. We're not as concerned about articulation in these cases. Speech development is something very separate, actually. But when children are delayed in knowing the grammar of their language, it has dramatic repercussions for learning to read well. Because reading is, of course, just language on paper. And if a child does not understand the small niceties of the grammar, does not understand tense, does not understand long sentences and how they are put together to create clauses like, I fell down because I tripped over a rock, and understanding little glue words like because, then when they have to read, they're going to have a significant amount of trouble. There's even some evidence that children who are language delayed often have a common deficit in breaking the code of letters to sounds. It doesn't show up in their speech, but there's some evidence that one of the deficits that underlies language disorder in children or language delay in children has ramifications for being able to learn the associations between letters and sounds. So children with late language development are going to be terribly disadvantaged in learning to read, and that's one of the reasons why we try and identify these kids early, and we try not to treat their disorder as one purely of learning to read. It would be a mistake to call these kids, for instance, dyslexic. Their reading problems are real, but they're based on problems in knowing the language. And sometimes what I say to my students who don't quite get this is I'll ask them if they can read Russian. And they'll, of course, say, most of them, in any given semester, no. And I'll say, why? And they'll say, but I don't speak Russian. And that's, of course, the main point, that your reading flexibility, your reading facility is determined by how much you know of a language.
How do we recognize, then, whether our child is just a late talker?
There are actually some interesting cues very early in development, even before children start to talk, that they may or may not be typical language learners. One disorder of tremendous concern to parents is autism. There is evidence that children who are autistic don't seem to relate to other people in the environment, even at the infancy stage. So they're less likely to engage in reciprocal babbling. They're less likely to look at other people, to point meaningfully for things and request the assistance of other people. So there are some cues early in development that a child who not only isn't perhaps talking, but isn't relating to other people the way you expect young infants and toddlers to, might be at risk for developing a disorder. There's actually an interesting set of studies where after children were identified as being autistic at ages 2, 3, and beyond, researchers were able to find video of their first birthday parties. And in these videos, there was clear evidence that they weren't interacting as well as other children with the people around them at that social event. So certainly parents should be on the lookout for things like failure to socialize well and to respond to others in the environment. They should be concerned at some level if the child has a lot of middle ear infections. We call it otitis media. Otitis media has been associated in some studies, but not all, with delays in language development. As I said, at age 2, if a child is not putting two words together, is not saying simple sentences, it's time to ask why. There's going to be a big difference between children who are not putting two words together and are not using lots of different words, who seem to understand things pretty well, and the child who doesn't seem to understand things pretty well. If there's a lag in comprehension as well as a lag in production, that's going to be a much more serious concern and is going to need earlier intervention.
How about the frequent scenario where you have an older sibling who takes over and sort of talks on behalf of the younger one? And what happens with twins who speak their own little private language?
People always tell me that older siblings speak for their younger ones, but in my household it wasn't. My daughter seemed to enjoy my son's inability to communicate. Nobody's done systematic study of how often that happens. There is, in fact, though, a phenomenon whereby second-born children do seem to show some differences in language development from first-born children. In general, they're a little later at learning some aspects of the language, like vocabulary, and a little faster at learning some frozen kinds of phrases that are used around the household to get things done. So, give me one of those, or go away. Things that they hear that become sort of frozen phrases that they can pick up and use. Those differences tend to die out pretty fast, so that by the time children are three or four, birth order doesn't seem to make much of a difference in any of the studies that have been looked at. So I don't know that it's bad if a sibling tries to help a younger child talk. That sort of stuff doesn't seem to map out statistically into any sort of disadvantage for the child. And it is kind of cute to watch older children trying to negotiate with younger children about this, because even younger children will use what we call motherese, which is the funny, simplified form of speech to children. Even a three-year-old will talk to a one-year-old differently than they talk to another three-year-old. So it's kind of fun for children to understand the process of teaching language to others, and I kind of enjoy watching that. The twin situation. Now, twins are a very interesting population, and there have been some reports in the press over the years of twins sharing a secret language. Those reports are actually kind of rare. I just want to sort of say that at the onset. We don't see this very commonly. In the cases that have been investigated, the twins don't really seem to have what we would really envision to be a secret language very commonly. In the cases that have been investigated, the twins don't really seem to have what we would really envision to be a secret language very commonly. In the cases that have been investigated, the twins don't really seem to have what we would really envision to be a secret language very commonly. In the cases that have been investigated, the twins don't really seem to have what we would really envision to be a secret language very commonly. In the cases that have been investigated, the twins don't really seem to have what we would really envision to be a secret language very commonly. In the cases that have been investigated, the twins don't really seem to have what we would really envision to be a secret language very commonly.